Hey everyone, and welcome to And Just Like What? Sex and the City Rewind Podcast,
where Sex and the City superfans tell you the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts. And let me tell you who we are today. We have turned out, despite a lot of the life lessons we've learned from this show, we're fully functional adults.
We're fully functioning, employed adults.
You know, we are married. We
found love. I have a mortgage.
We have mortgages.
We've both bought and sold properties.
I have 10 hats that I have. Like, I just have them at my ready. That's amazing for us.
That's how you're showing that you're a fully functioning adult, is that yes. You own 10 hats.
10 hats.
Okay.
And so I'm going for this, like, hot Jewish dad. Is that wrong for me to say? To say Jewish dad? Hot, kind of like New Yorker dad look right now. And I love it.
I see it. I mean, I see that aesthetic. I see it.
You see it and you're saying, I see it and I like it? Or you
see it and
you
I like
just
it.
Literally just are witnessing it on me.
It's like watching like someone who's just about to get hit by a car. Like, you know, you watch it and you're just observing it.
You just observe. It's like the thing where someone in a big crowd goes down and not one person goes to save them.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing with my style right now.
Yeah, I like your style. It's
you're
wearing a lot of
denim on denim,
consistent tones.
A lot of taupe. A yep. lot of runners.
You're color blocking.
I'm color blocking. It's lovely.
In neutrals.
And some of the things that we're learning here, like karma. Did I learn about karma through this episode of Sex and the City? Like,
I really
was that my
hope...
first touch point?
Oh my God, I really hope not. Please.
Right? Because I hope not too, but there is a good chance. Because the way that I was raised was so wildly sheltered that I think that I was getting a lot of these things, like the worldliness and, oh my God, cocktails. Oh, what? You go for brunch? You do that? You walk
brunch
around?
Brunch is a combo of breakfast and lunch.
And throwing a mimosa blows my mind. Blows a very, a Midwesterner Canadian boy, Christian boy's mind.
Wait, what would you call lunch? Did you call lunch supper or dinner?
Dinner. So
you did?
Well, I had to. That was all I knew.
You seriously called it dinner?
Yeah. And then, okay, so lunch was dinner. Dinner is supper.
What? Supper is dinner.
Dinner, like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever, is dinner. No, supper.
What? Supper.
And then if you ate later, that's a lunch.
Like
about midnight. So that was a midnight lunch. You're making yourself a lunch? That was around 10 if you're raiding the fridge.
So that's like
I'll
a
make
snack.
You a lunch. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then I think like I started to learn when I moved away from Saskatchewan that
wait.
There's all different words for that.
Like tea. People actually say tea, what I had for tea.
Yeah, like a 4 o'clock tea, 5 o'clock. Yep. And now I've fully adopted the more regular vernacular for dinner time and supper and lunch and everything.
So this is something that I actually have never known. Were your parents farmers?
No, not at all. Like,
why were you living there?
Why would you be there if you weren't a farmer?
Yeah.
Good question. A lot of people from the old countries moved to Saskatchewan to farm. But, you know, generations of people didn't do exactly what their parents did. So that's all that happened. I think my great-grandparents and everything were real farmers, but then everyone kind of left it.
Oh, interesting.
I know.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Okay, speaking of who we are today, group on like Instagram. They're called like free samples. It's like this group of four women. They do the funniest videos that speak directly to my soul.
Okay, what like, do they do?
They did one about women getting an Uber.
Okay.
It's so funny. It's so funny because like I've been on a lot of girl trips, women trips. I hate calling it girl trips. And it's exactly It's exactly, it's just very funny. And I just watched this one about women walking, and these women are just, and it's like really random and mundane, but it's also so on the nose
bang
about
on, yeah.
You know, like women in their mid to late 30s, early 40s, where it's like, is that a bird? It's like, that woman lives with a ghost. Like, are we walking or are we exercising? Like, it's so funny. If you can check it out. I like that.
It's very It's meeting funny. You where you're truly at right now. That's the content that connects. That's like our community.
That's the content that connects. And it's an exaggeration, but is it though?
Is it
though? I sent it to some friends because I'm going to Canmore next weekend, and I sent it to the group that I'm going to Canmore with, and they're all like, ha ha ha, but they're like, actually, I'll be the one bird watching, and I'll be the one, like, everyone immediately knew who they were going to be in the group. It's just really funny.
It's the archetypes we want to fall into. We're totally in. Like, I'm in that I'm wearing khakis and runners. I'm
so your in archetype it to win is, it. Is wealthy Jewish New York dad?
Yes, New York Times at a cafe, crossed legs. I don't know what else
heavy
to say
eyebrows.
About that. Heavy eyebrow. Oh, I wish. I wish a strong brow. Oh, if I only had that. So today I think someone looked at me like I was a ghost. Someone ran past. So I'm in this age where my skin looks young, but my aura, like my actual presence is old.
It like reads like 80.
Yeah, like my presence and like how I dress and everything is very old, but my face kind of looks younger. So it throws people off, right?
Yeah, because so, you're full on. You have like a glass of Metamucil and like a handful of prunes and people are like, what?
Yeah, like why is that young child eating prunes?
You have like a tin of mackerel.
Yeah, I'm just eating sardines straight from with a saltine. Why is that young boy doing that?
Exactly.
And why is he dressed in like 60 retired Eddie Bauer wear? Just connected. So I got that
Eddie
this
Bauer.
Morning. Yeah, vintage Eddie Bauer.
Someone gave you a double take?
She looked at me. She was jogging by with a dog and she looked at me like I would have, if I would have spoken to her, I would have told her something true about the universe.
Like prophetic.
It was a very, like I was a prophet on our dog walk.
That's so funny.
How was your week? Did you have a Sex in the City experience? Like, are you bringing it? Are you drinking just now alone? I don't know. Are you still on your cleanse?
I'm still on my cleanse.
How? How?
It's like a 30-day cleanse.
Oof.
It's fine. I like it.
So there's no Sex in the City in that.
I feel like they're all on various cleanses at any time.
But
they just don't talk about it.
But they don't skip the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miranda certainly doesn't skip the alcohol in this episode.
Do you know what? Speaking of prophetic.
You got some karma?
Well, in this episode, when the detective leaves Miranda the number for AA.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in Just Like That?
Yeah.
Right?
Also, there was something else that happened. Oh, yeah. Carrie getting robbed of her shoes kind of happened in Just Like That in the way that Seema got robbed of her Birkin.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little bit of a Easter egg, I think.
A little callback, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's dive into it. Give me a synopsis. Oh, okay, no, first of all, we should talk about we're covering what goes around comes around. It's season 3, episode, I want to say 17.
So we powered through season 3 and we have loved it. We are here for it. So because of, I think, Sex in the City is now on Netflix. Oh. So we're introducing the show... The royal we.
we are single-handedly reintroducing the show to a new generation or rediscovering.
Yeah. Whole new generation who are going to fall in love with the show. It's so bingeable. I have it on in the background
so
all the time.
Good. These episodes, we're talking about there's certain plot episodes that are harder to watch and demand more of you. These frothy dating, like episodic episodes that come in season 3, season 4 are pure delights.
Pure delights. And for my advice would be for the new little babies who are watching this, just get through the first season. There's some great stuff that happens, but just get through because it just gets consistently better and better and better.
Exactly. Season 2 has some highs and lows, but it's about 10 to 20% better than season 1. Season 3, we're on. It's happening. It's the show.
We're in the groove.
We're in it.
So HBO did a roundup of the best shows on HBO like ever.
HBO did their own roundup?
Yeah, or maybe it was Vulture.
They're like, don't watch these ones we made.
But Sex and the City was out of like at least 100.
Yeah.
It was 11th. I was surprised it wasn't top 10.
I would say it just made HBO, like, Soprano. Okay, I can see it. They've done some good shows, but this is just, I think of it. I think of that HBO logo at the beginning and everything. It's just HBO in a nutshell. It's boobs. It's primetime boobs.
It's boobs for me too. And so I just want to see how many shows it was out of, because I think it's quite high. So it's out of 113 shows.
Okay.
And it's number 11, which I was like, okay, but I feel like it maybe should have been top 10. But
well, we've got Game of Thrones in there now. We have Sopranos.
Game of Thrones is 12th. Yes, because people were, because it lost the plot so completely.
Oh, it was bad at the last season was just horrid.
So there's shows, I mean, Succession is, The Wire, Deadwood, and Sopranos are like the top four.
Succession lost it for me too, I have to tell you. I want to kill all of them. I wish they all had died on that plane.
It's not as pleasurable to watch as
it is not. You're not going to go binge and rewatch Succession over and over again. If they were to really track the habits of their viewer, who's watching their old favorite the most times? It's Sex and the City. Fans.
It's Sex and the City. Absolutely. And I would also argue 6 Feet Under is another one that I love. Did you like 6 Feet Under?
We started watching it just a couple of years ago and I didn't get into it. So I have to go back. I never really had all these shows. I think in Canada we had Bravo, right?
We had 6 Feet Under box set.
You had a box set. You had to go buy it if you really wanted to invest.
Yeah. Anyways, so I just wanted to drop that in there. Let me synopsis.
Synopsis this.
And then I'll tell you where it is on the Vulture list.
Yeah, I'm interested.
So what goes around comes around. You're right. It's season 3, episode 17. It aired on October 8, 2000. Okay. Upset by a hateful glance from Natasha, who saw the quartet in a restaurant, Carrie loses her way and gets robbed of not just valuables, but far worse, her favorite designer sandals. When she files a report, the NYPD detective and Miranda immediately fall for each other. Yeah. Now that Charlotte has lost all hope in Trey's potency, her lust wanders off to the McDougal's hunky Barchester gardener. When her lips follow, the family accepts it. Even Trey.
When her lips follow? Who's writing this? Daphne Du Maurier?
But she can't handle this emotional neglect. Mm-hmm. When Samantha gets calls for another Sam Jones, who gives a mega party, she takes Carrie there to find it's a virgin boy who lusts for her at first sight.
So wrong.
So that's the synopsis. Where do you think this lands?
Okay, if last week was 64th or 5th, I would say it's right around there, 64 or 65.
You know, I thought so too. I like this episode, but it didn't. There's ones that I enjoyed way more.
Exactly. It's not my favorite. There are a couple things that I think of when I think of Sex and the City that, like, I'd say Charlotte's little romance and the way that that family dealt with it is pretty memorable to me. Other than that, it was pretty throwaway.
Vulture says that it's 26th, which... Which I thought is high. And their reasoning is that... We return to heavy relationship drama from earlier in the third season as Carrie decides she needs to talk to Big's ex-wife. I guess for me, I just thought... So their point is that this might be the first time we truly realize that Carrie is so deeply flawed and redemption is not a sure thing.
This is the first time that we realize that Carrie's deeply flawed. Do you know that I think one of the karma things that she doesn't even understand karma. She's like... She thinks it's like parallels and mirror images. Like, I fell down the stairs. Natasha fell down the stairs. We're even. I'm like, exactly. That was not the same.
It's not the same. And she somehow feels entitled to forgiveness. And so it says that the confrontation is, it's surprising when she does confront Natasha because Natasha's underestimated and she puts Carrie in her place.
Natasha destroys Carrie in such a way that I actually really loved in that moment. She's like, yeah, I am sorry. Okay, let's go through this because there's really not a whole lot to talk about with the subplots, right? Basically, we're diving into the ideas of karma and what goes around comes around very simply, character.
So you felt the theme made more sense?
Yes.
Than last time. Actually, when you were... when you were very not so subtly implying that I was your frenemy.
Oh, gosh. So I have to tell this story. So we were still texting each other about some stuff. And I'm like, who was that person you were referring to? Like, there, you did make reference to a frenemy in your own life. And I'm like, I'm going to find out who this was. I didn't know who it was. There's no one that we're connected to mutually.
Yep.
But then I started getting paranoid and I said, am I your friend?
Why? Based on what?
I don't know. And then you start saying, am I your frenemy to me? And I'm like, we, in the span of three texts, absolutely turned on each other.
Yeah.
And then forgave each other and moved on.
Exactly. It was an emotional journey. And we realized that maybe this tension, this underlying hate, love masked as hate, hate masked as love, is really what is fueling our show.
Well, and also the fact that we're high-powered business partners now, we have now monetized our feed and we've made upwards of $35 American on this podcast.
We're high-powered business partners, and there has to be some frenemy vibe in there.
I mean, did we do the proper paperwork for this type of money? I don't think we did.
Talk about succession.
I know.
I was just thinking I need to sing the Succession theme song, and then I could not. It would not come to my mind.
Hard to translate into a voice. Very percussive, so it's hard. I just think of those elephants and those poor children.
I know. So the main thing is that we open is that Charlotte wants to sleep with the gardener. He's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Were you into him?
No. I don't find this like, I think I can appreciate like the type of body that I guess Charlotte was attracted to at the time, because Trey's body, oh my goodness, when he goes out and plays tennis, like just fiercely. With boxer shorts, I've never seen a better, I don't know, just like this, like Adonis.
It is like an Adonis. It's not too big. It's just like,
tight and perfect with that, with those Nikes, those cross trainers.
Yeah. Woo! You love a fat cross trainer with a muscular man.
Yes, I do. It's part of my look.
You like a puffy shoe.
Yes, it's a walker. It's a walking shoe that I could wear with khakis. That's all I want.
You are like a 7-year-old man in a very with your very young baby face. So Charlotte, I mean, yeah, that's it.
Sister-in-law tells on her, and
yeah, and we realize like how bizarre the McDougal family is. Because apparently it's like a rite of passage that Charlotte is into the gardener and she gets caught kissing him. And Bunny's response is, well, you're not my McDougal now, Charlotte.
Oh, you're reading the guidebook. Yeah. No, I did find one passage disturbing when she's like, you're making me cheat on you.
That she takes no responsibility.
She takes no responsibility in that action because she could.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's no, like, his inability to connect with her or their lack of connection doesn't give her license to do what she did. Explains it, but it doesn't give her free license to do it before talking to him about it or before separating and all those right things. She basically gaslit him.
Yeah, it's weird how the show handles this idea of cheating, that somehow it's beyond the person's control. Like, they don't have agency in the decisions that they make.
Yeah.
Is very weird to me.
Yes.
Like same with Carrie, that somehow she's like, oh, why is Natasha mad at me? It's like, because you fucking ruined her. You purposely cheated on her with her married husband.
Yeah. Like, and it's not your God-given right, Carrie, to get in front of this person.
No, you are not entitled to her forgiveness.
She's not respecting Natasha's boundaries.
No, she's just railroading. Again, it's exactly the thing with what happened when she was cheating with Big on Natasha. She's railroading this woman's life. Like the fact that she's a fully realized person with autonomy because it's about her experience more than Natasha's. It sucks.
Okay, well then we have Samantha who's getting... Basically, she has her number written on so many bathroom walls, just... Random people are calling her now. Like, I don't even understand it.
How does this woman not have all the venereal diseases?
And 24/7 security around her because it sounds really dangerous all the time. Like,
seriously.
Men think they, in the same way, these men think they own a piece of Samantha.
Yeah.
It's really disturbing, and this party was not fun. So Samantha's getting all these calls for Sam Jones.
Yep. Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam Jones.
And who's throwing this, like, banger of a party, and she's so in it to win it. She's like, I'm there, whoever this is.
So do we think that Sam Jones is legal? Is he 21?
I was very, very concerned. And this, I also think that this party was very concerning because they go to this strange party. They don't know any people there. They're
in
walking,
a dorm room.
In a dorm room. They're walking in hallways with drunk frat guys. And it just seemed so wrong that I didn't love it at all. Like, and then, you know, he seemed like he was definitely under 22. He's in university and it was like an 18 to 22 kind of range, I'd say.
Yeah.
20?
And so Samantha is 20 years older than him.
Yes. And Carrie does allude to the fact, like, these people could be your, don't even say it. I'm going to fuck them all. It'd be really weird if I had that in my head. Or maybe she does have it in her head. It's probably turning her on. She is just a deviant sometimes. No, she's such a deviant sometimes, I have to say.
You mean she likes, like, the stepmom?
Yeah, like, she'll get into it.
I guess.
Yeah, she'll get into it.
So, yeah, that storyline also surprised me, and I felt like it was weird that it was ranked so high, because again, the Vulture list is older, and so I feel like we're just not taking into consideration some of the
things we've
the
learned
new cultural that. Understanding we have around coercion and power dynamics. It's pre-Me Too.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay, yeah.
And I feel like that was, for a lot of people, maybe not, but it was kind of a crash course into the idea of coercion. Like, that rape is not this violent thing that happens by gunpoint. There's, like, it involves, like, kind of a sensitive play of power dynamics and coercion. And if you're in a role of power, like, even this, like, a 20-year age difference.
I know, but then again, when Sam Jones came to Samantha's place, he brought this, like, limp rose and then just basically mauled her.
You're right. I thought that was weird, too. He completely just jumps on her and she doesn't even have like a second to be like, do I want to have
this? Do I
want to
have this? Yeah. Like, and also that whole montage was just which was funny. Like, her legs when they were going around and around and how she was really like the master of sex, teaching this young man everything she knows. She didn't look like she was having a good time.
No, not once.
She was bored. She was hurt. It was hurting. It was bad. Like, it didn't come across. It didn't read well.
But then it made me realize, if we had the time, it would be funny to do like an audit of how much screen time Kim Cattrall has of her just doing like funny sex montages. Oh. I bet it's like 50% of her screen time is her just being like, oh, with her legs.
Unbelievable.
Right?
She has nice feet, thankfully.
She does have nice feet.
She has beautiful, beautiful feet.
I read this funny thing about William Dafoe.
Okay.
Remember he was in that Lars von Trier movie, Antichrist? I didn't see it. I wasn't super interested in seeing it. I don't really like horror, but I read this funny, I mean, I love horror books, but not movies. Mm-hmm. And I read this funny thing, I thought it was funny anyways, that apparently he has this sex scene and he insisted that he needed a body double because he's so well hung that it would have been distracting.
That's so gross.
That he has like an enormous elephant nostril dick.
Like snuffleupagus.
And he's a skinny guy. So like it would have just been
It's always the skinny ones that have this like balloon dicks. Like, I bet Steve, funny. I bet Steve somehow has, like, the biggest dick.
Oh, I don't like it.
And then I bet, like, Aiden has the smallest, and then...
Biggs is just, like, non...
Biggs is just, like, nice looking. Kind of like a solid Wall Street dick. Yeah, and then Burger, Gorge.
I feel like...
Petrovsky,
I feel like Trey's would be nice too, but I like that waspy. I like that.
Trey's
look.
Is lots of more pubic hair than you've ever thought a man could have, and it loses a lot of the length. You know what I'm saying? It eats it up.
It's just
it's buried like in there.
It's like a slug in a hedge. I love Kyle MacLachlan. This episode, I was like, he is a very attractive man.
And I thought he was so vulnerable. This scene of him saying, like, you know, we'll just live our separate lives. And I guess that's all that we can do here. And it was just sad.
I know.
Oh, okay. But then the karma for Sam, getting back to Sam, is that obviously Samantha is that Sam is... She shouldn't have done this. This is like a baby gosling that attaches onto whoever it thinks is its mama. And he goes psycho on her. Like, I love you. He's obsessed with her. And basically could kill. It's a Dateline episode waiting to happen. I've heard it before. Older woman.
I've had experiences like this, like with younger guys being like, you know, relentlessly knocking on my door and me being like, leave.
Which door? Just your outside door of your townhouse?
Like the metaphorical door.
Oh, the door. Okay. I thought it was a literal. Oh, that's scary.
It was literal. Like when we were traveling. Oh, I don't know.
That's scary to me. That's your space.
It was scary.
That's someone outside of there. Oh,
I don't like it at all. Like this sense of entitlement.
I don't know how
Samantha fixes this problem. We never learn.
We never how she learn. Fixes it. Well, just like any young person, and the love and the feelings and all that adrenaline, and he just fixed onto someone else probably pretty quickly.
Yeah, just, I feel bad for that.
Just have another sexual experience. Sometimes she could do a switch and bait, like, hey, have you met this person who needs a lot of sex? Attach onto her, Sam.
But yeah, like one of her assistants.
So Charlotte's newly single, needs some sex. Hi, Sam.
Ew, that would be mean. I just read this funny description of Kyle MacLachlan. So in 1994, he was described as the boy next door if the boy spent lots of time alone in the basement.
Yeah.
he does have that vibe.
Who was doing push-ups the whole time.
Yeah, I like Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, he's got that perfect body size that he can build good muscle. He's like so fit. So nice.
Lean. So, and meanwhile, Miranda, she meets this detective who, did you find him attractive? Detective Stevens.
Yeah, he's attractive. I know this actor though. I was like such a big Another World fan, and this guy has been on every soap opera.
Really?
Yeah, like Santa Barbara, Another World, General Hospital, everything. And he was on, Another World for like a year or two. And I was highly involved in some of his plot lines.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was Gabe Another McNamara, World, yeah. But it's a different,
what was it? Gary Sinclair. He was on Santa Barbara. Whoa, he did 179 episodes in 2 years. His name is Dash Nichols.
And he. But on Another World, he dated Josie. And he was a cop on that one too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So yeah, he's definitely good looking. I thought this was funny. First of all, I thought it was funny when Miranda brings Carrie these shoes. Bring her some slippers. Bring her Birkenstocks. Like, these shoes are so insane.
Yeah, she brings some beige, low-heeled.
Big, like, drag queen shoes. She's like a big
size 10 or something.
Yeah.
So funny. But so this detective is really into Miranda, and Miranda has like a confidence crisis because apparently he's the hottest person. He's the most attractive man who's ever been into her, which I didn't like the storyline because I'm like, Miranda is objectively a beautiful woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, so they go out and everyone at this restaurant, including the bartender, the man, the women, every single person is just like salivating over this man. Yeah, maybe not so well cast. He's just out. He's good looking, but he's not like that good looking. And in her mind, she's thinking that they're all thinking like that she's not good enough for him and that she's too ugly for him. And I don't think that was what it was. I think it was just like he's just good looking.
Yeah. I guess, because I didn't find him like remarkably. But then that makes sense, though. If he was on kind of soap operas around the same time, that kind of tracks, right? They're probably.
He was a bit of a heartthrob or
object of desire at that time. It's Gary from Another World.
It's Gary Sinclair. And then she gets some liquid courage and downs 6 martinis.
Yeah, but then it made me really want a vodka martini but I prefer a gin martini, but with an olive in it.
Mm. And she decides, you know, they have a great night together, but she is so drunk. She's on it and she's on him and she's on the top of the world. Like, Miranda does have some drinking issues all the way through Sex and the City, don't you think? She often drinks for courage.
Yep. She drinks alone a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it was kind of her alcoholism is kind of waiting to happen.
It's just kind of waiting to happen. So in the morning when she gets out of her bedroom, she looks like a Furby. No, what's the, like a troll doll coming out to life outside of her bedroom. I've never seen anything like this. And he leaves her. This is so mean and it's inappropriate and it's weird.
Do you think that he left her the number for the I mean, I feel like that kind of tracks. He's like a cop. He's into her. She gets super, super drunk and kind of mauls him.
So it was that bad that he just never wanted to talk to her again. Go to AA. Bye.
Yeah. That's he doesn't want to be involved with it. If she's an alcoholic, yeah, you can make that decision. I mean, we're talking about boundaries.
I would have, absolutely. And I'd have to say that if I got that drunk and acted in a way that I didn't really realize and crossed boundaries and did something inappropriate with someone sexually, especially, and they thought I needed to go to AA, I would take a second look at my drinking.
Oh God, I would never want to see that person again. I'd be so embarrassed.
But wouldn't you think about do I actually have a problem? Because it definitely doesn't prompt that discussion in Miranda at this point.
You're right. It doesn't.
Well.
It doesn't. And it evolves later. I mean, it's probably when the writers looked back at this, they're like, red flag.
That's exactly what's happening. Because they did, the more I watched the original series, the more I realized how thoughtful a lot of the plot lines were in and just like that.
They were, and people hate on that show, but mm-hmm. I'm excited for it to come back.
Oh, I can't wait.
Do we have a time?
Didn't we say 2025?
That's too. Right.
I hope maybe it's like January.
Let me see.
February. They're all over the place. It's never been at the same time. Do you know that?
Any
news?
They're just starting to film in May. I mean, the writers' strike. They haven't even started filming.
Everything down. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It'll be a while.
But that means it will be a fun, summery season again.
Oh, good. It always has to be summer. I didn't like the full year. I don't want to see them in winter.
I mean, the time is strange. And actually, so Miranda talks about... Okay, so when did Miranda and Steve break up? Did they break up in season 3? Or is that season 2?
No, it's season 3.
Okay, so she says to Detective Stevens, I was made partner 2 months... Oh, I guess it's been three months ago. So she's only been broken up
with... It's a very condensed time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's only been 3 months since she's been broken up with
Well,
Steve.
Charlotte has only been married to Trey for 2 months at this point.
Yeah,
two
that's
months.
Crazy.
Yeah. They've even done the massively long trip to LA.
I know, so much has happened.
So much has happened in 2 months.
Yeah, and she's already decided she wants to separate.
That's a very fast-track separation.
Oh, yeah. So the main thing that happens... in this episode is that Natasha sees her at the sushi place and mm-hmm. she glares at her and doesn't come into the restaurant mm-hmm. and which Carrie thinks is mortally wounded by this. And it's ridiculous because
it puts her mind on a spin.
Well, and I was like, who are you to expect compassion or forgiveness from this woman whose life you literally destroyed? And Carrie's obsessed with this idea that she, exactly like you said, that this her karma is parallel. That somehow she has been punished enough for her actions. And so the last thing she needs is to get Natasha's forgiveness. Again, it has nothing to do with Natasha's experience.
Nope.
It has nothing to do with the fact that she's entitled to not. If anyone's entitled to anything, it's Natasha is entitled
absolutely
to not give Carrie her forgiveness. But somehow Carrie thinks that she deserves it.
Not at all. So.
And then this is the other thing that blew my mind. That Carrie thinks that, again, it's a part of her karma that now Natasha is back on the dating market. And she's like, not like there's enough competition.
This was the most insane thing. She's like, and something about this propelled Natasha back onto the dating scene in New York. Welcome to her karma. What?
Yet that somehow she now has to further compete with Natasha in the dating scene, which it just, anyways, it's such a bad look for Carrie. And then she slow walks down in a slow-mo walk down the street in like a newspaper print dress with no bra, and her boobs are just like ba-jung-jung, ba-jung-jung,
That's a John Galliano. That's a famous Dior dress, John Galliano.
She looks beautiful, but it's an odd choice to do a slow-mo walk of her without a bra, don't you think?
I would say that a lot of the styling, I think that they tried to up the styling. I think Natasha, that actress, is so stunning that they tried to really glam up Carrie in a lot of those scenes. Like when
it seemed like a strange power move to have mm-hmm. Carrie to go apologize to Natasha, and she's wearing this like incredibly revealing
evening dress.
Yes. Yeah. With no bra.
Yeah. That's a very strange look to come in with your head bowed, like between your knees. That's wrong.
Like ba-jong-jong?
Ba-jong-jong.
My favorite, okay, so that's a weird look, just power move why. I mean, she looks beautiful, but my favorite look in this episode is when she's wearing her tie-dyed short overalls with her see-through blouse
at
over
home.
Top.
At yes. home, that was so good. It's almost like this mixing of the best way that she mixes pattern and stripe and print and everything. And it's so wacky and perfect.
It's perfect.
Carry it home. Always the best.
It's inspired me to wear my overalls for school pickup.
Oh, good. You have overalls.
Oh, good. Toddler confidence.
Get out those toddler Oshkoshes. You know, I was thinking some things. Carrie, there are other ways to communicate with people other than going down to Ralph Lauren and barging your way into their office. You could write her a letter.
She's a writer.
You could email her.
She doesn't use email, though.
She doesn't know. She doesn't start email until season 4 because she thinks that, like, the computer can actually see you. Like, when an email comes into your inbox, it has eyes and it's on you.
She hides from it. But that's the thing. She's not sending out the forgiveness. She needs Natasha to say, it's okay, mm-hmm. girl. Like, it's not about her actually seeing if Natasha's okay. It's completely for her own ego. Ugh.
If she really cared about Natasha, she would have left it alone.
Left her the F alone. Exactly.
Leave her alone. And then, wow, to have this in her mind that Big is back on the market is blowing. She walks down the streets of New York and just looks at traffic and has hair blowing in the wind. And she's thinking and thinking and thinking for about 20 blocks. And that's how we end her.
That's how we end her. That's how we end it.
That's how we kill her off.
Yeah. And then she gets hit by a truck as she's bajungajing. Bajungajong. Bajungajong.
Like her Maynard nipples.
Like, I have Maynard wine gum nipples. Like, I have little boys. And sometimes my oldest son is like, Mom, sometimes I notice people's boobies. And I'm like, oh, it's totally okay. Like,
he notices them.
He know, like, sometimes, like, cartoon boobies. He's like, sometimes I notice boobies. Is that okay? I'm like, yes. So I know if he saw the end of this, he would just be like,
I noticed something. His eyes would go all, like, spiral. Yeah. Well, it's that's, like, what?
It's like Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, full Roger Rabbit. He'd get animated for 3 seconds and then come back. Joe Pesci. So that was it. Not much more to say. Like, have you ever had relationship karma? Do you think that something's like you've done something so badly in a relationship it came back to haunt you?
I don't really conceptualize in karma that way. I think mm-hmm. that
oh yeah,
so much is uncontrollable, and the intent, we you put out goodwill and you act with kindness because that's what it means to be a good human, not to win a reward.
Right. You're not kind of playing, like, you're not investing in your future by being a good person.
Yeah. It's not self-serving goodwill. It's mm-hmm. because we have to live together. So why being kind is kind of how you show up in the world. Anyways, I don't know.
I have to say, if Carrie really did live by this concept of karma, she's fucked.
She's fucked.
She is done. She is ending.
Yeah. She's going straight to hell.
You know what?
What?
Rate and review this podcast. We need more. We share. It's the Carrie-sance. Vogue is now calling this era the Carrie-sance because
I love that.
Carrie-sance. Hashtag Carrie-sance. Share this. Get your friends watching this iconic show on Netflix. Who doesn't have Netflix? If they don't have Netflix, who are they in this world?
Ellipses.
What's wrong with them?
Tell us who you thought was the hottest guy. We think it's Kyle MacLachlan, but you let us know if
no,
you thought.
No, it's Berger.
No, in this episode. Do
oh,
you
in
think
this?
It was...
Oh, okay. Okay, is it Detective Sullivan?
Stevens.
Or
the
Kyle
Gardner.
MacLachlan. Or the Gardner.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put this poll out on Spotify, listeners. Go and vote. Follow us on Instagram. Yeah. We're doing a lot of content. I'm going on there. We're doing like voiceovers. Did you see Meredith?
Yep, love them.
Funny.
You were rocking that Jewish dad aesthetic.
Right? Mm-hmm. At and just like what pod? And have a great week.
Have a great week, y'all. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.